Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK, Hank, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information jotted down if you haven't done so already on the web. It's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by. 888-7000 and the letter CRI. All this month, we are featuring the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. If you like the old Bible Answer Book, you'll love this one. It is an absolute masterpiece in terms of how it is designed. It's leather-bound, it's etched in silver, it's a keepsake, and it is available all this month for your support. Also, as I've mentioned, all this month we're trying to set a new record in terms of people joining the monthly CRI support team. As of today, we're at 121. So since I last mentioned it yesterday, another 10 people have joined, and right after I get done with the broadcast, I'll be personalizing copies of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, to the person who signed up, a family member or a friend. Also, remember, when you give electronically, you save time and postage. You can use a credit card, a debit card, or an EFT, an electronic funds transfer. Again, check it out on the web, equip.org/donate. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Frida, listening in San Antonio, Texas, Bot Radio. Hi, Frida.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
My question to you is, my husband is very, very, I've learned a lot from him, okay? And he's very into God and everything. But anyway, my question to you is, I have been listening to Jimmy Swaggart every night before I go to bed for about the last month. His gospel is just outstanding. And I thought, you know, the way he was speaking, he knew everything, but something in my heart was telling me to do some research on it. And I did, and I read some stuff, and I didn't know if people were just saying ugly things because of his popularity or what you thought about it.
Well, no. I mean, his moral failures have been confessed to some degree, but he has been defrocked by the Assemblies of God. And when the Assemblies of God defrocked him, he distanced himself from their authority by referring to them as a cult. And he said they were in league with pornographers and all these kinds of things. But the problem with Jimmy Swaggart, and I don't typically get into the moral failure part of it, but you asked me about it, and I don't think that this is a secret or that this is a trumped-up charge. This is very, very real. This is one of the greatest falls in Christian history. But the bigger problem from my standpoint is that he continually communicates false doctrine. For example, he believes that God's body is in one place at one time. And his views in that sense are more similar to Mormonism than Christianity. He also teaches that within the Godhead there are three separate and distinct persons, each having his own personal spirit body, personal soul, and personal spirit. And in this sense, his teaching has more in common with tritheism than Trinitarian doctrine, which is central as an essential of the historic Christian faith.
Oh, okay. Something in my heart told me, I've spoken to you once before, and something in my heart told me to ask you this question, because sometimes I get confused as well as Sid Ross. I don't know too much about him, but I think he speaks.
Sid Roth is a huge problem as well. Let me simply say this, that what you get from him is sensationalism, selling, sophistry, sloppy journalism, and even script torture, which is to say that he tortures the passages of Scripture. Instead of exegeting them, taking out of them what the Holy Spirit has placed there, he eisegetes them. He imposes his own pet theories on the biblical text. So he is not a credible Bible teacher. Let's go back to the phone lines. David, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, listening on CJCA. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you for your ministry. It's truly blessed me in my walk with God, and probably has blessed thousands of other people as well.
Well, thank you for your encouragement.
Yeah, I just had one of two questions. The first one, I'll try to be as quick as possible. So when it comes to the fruits of the Spirit, I'm trying to read the Bible from front to finish right now, and I'm at Numbers, and I realize like there's obviously a lot of numbers where God's wrath is shown upon the Israelites' enemies and stuff like that. So in regards to the fruits of the Spirit, why isn't God's holy judgment and wrath part of the fruits of the Spirit?
Well, think about what you read in Galatians chapter 5 with respect to the fruit of the Spirit. There's a contrast between the fruit of the Spirit and the lust of the flesh. And then what Paul says about the lust of the flesh, he says that they war against the Spirit. And the Spirit wars against the flesh. Now, when he's talking about flesh there, he's talking about the depraved will, the earthly mind. And so he says in Galatians chapter 5 that the deeds of the flesh are very self-evident. They're adultery, they're fornication, they're lewdness, they're idolatry, they're hatred, they're jealousies, they're outbursts of wrath, they're selfish ambitions. I didn't get all of them, but there are a few others: heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, and these kinds of things. And then he says, these are the things that you used to practice in times past, but those who practice these kinds of things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And the reason is that as an orbit of practices, they point to the reality that you are not one who has been engrafted with the life of Christ. Had you been engrafted with the life of Christ, then you would start to show the buds of that living reality. Because the fruit of the Spirit, by contrast, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. It's kindness, goodness, faithfulness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. And against such things, there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with all of its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, we should walk in the Spirit. Of course, we shouldn't be conceited, says Paul, provoking one another, envying one another. That should be part of the past, not part of the present. Now, saying all of this does not mean that we are under the works of the law in some sense. No, Christ has accomplished the law for us. But what happens when we repent is we have a willingness to turn in a different direction. And with that willingness, we take on the principles and the precepts of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that creates a transformation in our life. So it's not as though we simply accept Jesus Christ so that we have an insurance policy to get into heaven once we die. No, we now have the engrafted life of Christ, and as a result of that, our lives should be markedly different from what they once were.
Okay, well, that answers that, Hank. And if it's okay to you, can I ask one quick question, and I'll just listen to your answer after this?
Sure.
I had this disturbing people on Facebook that are talking to that call themselves Christians. I think they're just crazy. But they were making this claim that the word Jesus isn't actually what Christ is called, and it's they have this crazy long Hebrew name, but it starts with Yeshua, and they're saying that Jesus' name was changed by from Catholics made the name Jesus, and they're also saying that part of the Trinity, there was like a woman in part of the Trinity, and Catholics changed the woman to a man and stuff like that. Is that complete and utter heresy?
Well, it's complete and utter nonsense. None of it's true. And I think this is one of the reasons we need to be very, very careful when we troll the internet, because internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. Now, certainly, there is this kind of mythology that's been perpetrated by Islam and Muhammad that the Trinity includes Mary. But this is a misunderstanding of the biblical doctrine of the Trinity. It's a caricature of the Trinity as opposed to being something correct with respect to the Trinity. The Hebrew for Yeshua or Jesus, Yehoshua, later became a contraction, Yeshua. And the Greek form became Iosos, which is in the form, in the inspired text of the New Testament. This is the manifest way in which it is developed there or communicated in the New Testament. But in English, it becomes Jesus. And we have to remember that language evolves over time, and there's nothing in Scripture that prohibits translation. The very idea that there can't be a Greek word for Jesus and a Dutch word for Jesus and a Latin word for Jesus and a Spanish word for Jesus and a German word for Jesus is utter nonsense. The real issue isn't even the word you use. It is the meaning that you pour into the word. There are many Jesuses, and Paul points that out. In other words, there are all kinds of counterfeits, and we are those who hold to the real Jesus, the Jesus of the New Thought metaphysical practitioners is simply an avatar or a messenger of the Mormons. He is a spirit brother of Lucifer, of the Jehovah's Witnesses. He is a junior partner in the creation of all other things. In Islam, he's a great prophet, but he most certainly is not God. And to say that he's God for Islam is tantamount to committing the unforgivable sin of shirk.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Hank, for your answer. That is really amazing. I hope you're truly blessed because you've helped thousands of people. I just wanted to say that you're the one that inspired me to read the Bible from front page to finish to really get to dissect it word for word. And so I just want to thank you for that and bless you.
Well, bless you as well. And one of the things we do in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, if you go to the back of that book, you'll find a legacy reading plan. And what I do in this reading plan is I strategically design it to empower you to eat the elephant one book at a time. The format is specially formulated to make your time in the Bible the best it can be. Now, there's no time like the present to engage in getting into the Word of God, getting the Word of God into you. So what I do is I lay out the principles, and I teach you how to apply those principles, and I give you a plan for, as I said, reading through the Bible in a much different way than you've probably ever seen it organized before. There's a way to read it in the winter, a way to read it in the spring, a way to read it in the summer, a way to read it in the fall. So, for example, in January and February and March, you're reading Hebrew Pentateuch and Hebrew poetry. In the spring, you're reading Hebrew history. In the summer, the Hebrew prophets. And in the fall, the New Testament. So it's all strategically laid out. Even so, it coheres with what we celebrate in certain epochs of the Christian year. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for your support all this month. And as mentioned earlier on, when you joined the monthly support team. I'd be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. If you like the old one, you're going to love the new one. It is one of the best books ever produced by Thomas Nelson. I mean, the excellence of the production, what you actually have in your hand when you get it, will amaze you. I can't overhype it. It's just simply true. When I got it, I gasped. It is just fantastic. You can get it, see it on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his new black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated. If you liked the old edition, you're going to love the new one. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Local, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the world's most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he does not seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. The latest issue of the Christian Research Journal opens a window into the theological vision of Pope Francis. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio, and we're answering questions all day, but I did want to make just a comment about a resource that we have been making available for quite a number of years. If you haven't seen it, it's Illustra Media's presentation of The Privileged Planet. This is one of the most spectacular DVDs you will ever encounter. And the reason is we live in a planet that is uniquely positioned in the cosmos. And there are many people in the intellectual community that are telling us something quite different. For example, Bill Nye, the science guy, who's very popular today, particularly with students, and you can see him in a lot of major media outlets, says we are just another speck of sand. There's nothing significant about us.
I am just another speck of sand. And the Earth, really, in the cosmic scheme of things, is another speck. And the Sun, an unremarkable star, nothing special about the Sun. The Sun is another speck. And the galaxy is a speck. I'm a speck on a speck, orbiting a speck, among other specks, among still other specks, in the middle of specklessness.
So humorous, perhaps, but again, he's saying he's a speck on a speck, orbiting a speck among other specks, amongst still other specks in the middle of specklessness. Well, the reason I bring this up today is just today, reading Scientific American, and if you're familiar with the magazine, you'll know that they take every single pot shot they can at the Christian worldview while full-on embracing naturalism. Well, here's the title of the article I was reading. Exoplanet Consensus or Census Suggests Earth is Special After All. I mean, this is Scientific American. Actually pointing out that perhaps we are a privileged planet after all. Perhaps the naturalists have it all wrong, have it all backward. And of course they do. The unique conditions necessary to support intelligent life turn out to provide the best overall conditions for scientific discovery. Think, for example, of the Sun and the Moon. Our atmosphere is oxygen-rich for survival, it's transparent for discovery, and what we find with respect to the Sun and the Moon is that the Moon is the perfect size, it's the perfect distance from Earth to stabilize rotation, and to facilitate human habitability. And that's not all. The Moon and the Sun's relative sizes and distances from Earth provide perfect solar eclipses, and they play a vital strategic role in the very development of modern science. There wouldn't be a Scientific American magazine. And so the determination of the nature of stars and the confirmation of Einstein's general theory of relativity are inextricably woven together with the size parameters of Sun and Moon. And this is something that is noted by Dr. John Gribben. He's an astrophysicist. He's no friend to Christianity, but he says the more we look, the more important the moon seems for our existence. He goes on to say, just now, in other words, in this epoch of time, human civilization, the moon is about 400 times smaller than the sun, but the sun is about 400 times farther away from the moon so that they look the same size in the sky. And I won't read everything that he says, but the bottom line, what he gets to is this. It's like a sign dangling in the sky, drawing attention to the moon and shouting, hey, take a look. Without me, you wouldn't even be here. And he says, it worries me that most people seem to accept this as just one of those things. Well, it's not one of those things. From habitability to discoverability, Earth's status in the universe is surely one of privilege. And to reduce this to an accident of cosmic evolution is, well, it's plain short-sighted. On the other hand, to recognize it as privileged is sublime. Again, all of this spurred on by Scientific American, the magazine, the article, Exoplanet Census suggests Earth is special after all. It reminded me that if you have not seen Privileged Planet, you don't want to miss it. When you see it, it doesn't preach, but you will immediately know that there is a God to whom you are accountable. There will never again be a question in your mind. It's one of the most stunning DVDs I've ever seen, also available for your support of the ministry. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Adam, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Bot Radio. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Hank. I just wanted to say thank you for everything that God is doing through your ministry and your staff, and also on what you were just talking about, it's hard for me to you know, go to the mountains or go to the beach, to Hawaii, or perhaps to hold my child, you know, when she was first born, and not absolutely know that there's a God and there's no other way that any of that could have happened, and that blows my mind. But my question to you is, I just wanted your best piece of advice on how to light a fire inside for the Word, for walking in the Spirit, for you know, being bold and stepping out and witnessing and things of that, other than the obvious of meditating, you know, on the Word and constant prayer and being in a good church and those things. I would like your single best piece of advice to really light a fire inside.
Sure.
Not be a lukewarm Christian, perhaps.
Yeah, and by the way, your prologue to the question, very, very insightful. I remember vividly the births of my children, and in every single case, being reduced to tears. You don't see the blood, you see the beauty. One human being coming out of another, and as you said, in that moment, you know there is a God, very much like when you look at the heavens, they declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. In terms of the things that you're talking about, to ignite the fire within you, the fire of your faith, we don't want to mistake the obvious and say other than, because the means of grace through reading the Bible, very significant. Which is to say, when you do so, you're interacting with the mind of God because He inspired the biblical writers. You're also interacting with their minds. Though they're dead, they were alive when they were writing this stuff. So you're interacting with their minds, and that's a powerful thing in and of itself. Communing with the Lord in prayer. It's not just supplication, but it is a dynamic relational aspect which lights our fire. And then being a vital member of a healthy, well-balanced church, critical because many logs burning together burn brightly, but when a log falls off to the side, the embers quickly die out. But I would say something more. It is in the church that you partake of the Eucharist or the Lord's table, and it is through the Lord's table or the Eucharist that you experience uncreated energy. And this is precisely what Paul is talking about when he says, we proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that everyone may be presented perfect in Christ, and then says, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Which is to say, you can struggle with your own energy, you can be on the sidelines, not struggling at all, or you can struggle with all his energy, which so powerfully works in you. And when you struggle with his energy, it makes a titanic difference. Because now you are infused with the life of Christ. You are a partaker, as Peter said, of the divine nature. And you now, having experienced the real presence of Christ, go out imbued with power that is beyond your own. And this is one of the things I've mentioned, and this is not to boast about praying, it's simply to tell you my need for prayer. Before I do the Bible Answer Man broadcast, every single day, I spend concentrated time in prayer. And I pray for a lot of things. Sometimes I pray that the Lord will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on our ministry so we can bless many more people. But what I pray every single day, without fail, is, Lord, anoint me not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, recognizing that I'm limited in my own capacities. But the moment I'm ignited by his Spirit, then things can happen in the spiritual realm, not to mention other realms, but in the spiritual realm, first and foremost, things can happen over the airwaves that I could never, ever accomplish on my own energy, on my own knowledge, or any component of myself. Now it is being supercharged, and this is by something beyond me. And so these things are all critical in lighting the fire. The other thing I would say is witness, often neglected as part of the process. If you're equipped to witness, and I think equipping is the first part of it. I often say it's not evangelism, it's equipping for evangelism. That is the key. But if you're equipped for evangelism and God gives you an opportunity to witness, I can tell you this, you will sense the fire burning very brightly. Even on those occasions when I'm tired and I don't feel like it, and the Lord gives me the opportunity, sometime in the process I realize, how come I didn't feel like this? I can't imagine this, because at some point in the conversation, as I'm doing his work by his power, I feel like I can jump over a tall building in a single bound. Again, not my energy, but his. Gonna have to leave it at that. Coming up to station break, we'll be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for your support. And for those who join the monthly CRI support team, be pleased to personalize one to you, a family member, or a friend. Be right back.
Nothing is the great dread that threads Ernest Hemingway's literary work. Most of his characters believe that nothing awaits them at death. Their machismo is a stance that both accepts and defies life's collapse into nothing. For Hemingway, it is Christ crucified and not Christ resurrected that holds interest. In the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal, see how Hemingway's work demonstrates that this world leaves each human ultimately alone. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. With over 500,000 copies in print,
Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his new black leather-bound, silver-embossed, complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we'll go right back to our callers. Next up, Warren, listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Warren.
Hi, Hank. How's it going?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Two guys from Edmonton in one day. I feel like two specs on a spec. I just wanted to ask you, yesterday's program, I don't know if we get our programs live, but yesterday's program, you were talking, and if I understood you correctly, I understood you as to say that capitalism is probably more in line with God's word than socialism is. And I'll be frank, I disagree, and I'll tell you why, and then maybe you can clarify for me. When I look at scriptures in the New Testament, it talks about taking care of the widows and the orphaned and the poor and stuff like that. I see more of the social programs that are brought in by socialist governments being more in line with that. And then when I look at in terms of global poverty, where, you know, they're saying, I don't know the exact numbers, but they're basically saying that 98% of the wealth of the world is owned by 2% of the population, which to me, you know, it seems more in line with capitalism. And then when I, you know, when I look towards Wall Street and you know, how so many of the way that we've got into stock markets and shareholders and how it's kind of dehumanized our economy, where, you know, it's getting really hard to find ethical funds. But to me, all those things point towards capitalism, which also to me seem like they're exactly opposite of what the Bible teaches. So can you kind of clarify to me what your stance is, or am I missing something?
Yeah, I think maybe you are. I think what's important to realize is that I'm not talking about capitalism in a generalized sense, although I could say some things about capitalism in a generalized sense. But I'm talking about Christian capitalism, responsibility associated with wealth. Ultimately, when you have that kind of a view, then you realize that God sees everything that you do, and you do what you do not simply to hoard wealth in this world, recognizing that you're here for just a blip on the radar screen, but you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. In terms of talking about America as a capitalist country, there is no evidence whatsoever that Americans are more greedy than socialism in other countries makes their citizens. In fact, the evidence suggests just the opposite. If you think about one of the most giving nations in the history of the world, it has been the American capitalist experiment. And I think there's something else that should be said. We should, as Christians, want a social order that channels self-interest as well as selfishness into socially desirable outcomes. And Jay Richards wrote about this in the Christian Research Journal, and I love the kinds of things that he said in the article. That article, I think, is available on the web, or I can send you a copy of it. But any system that requires anyone always to act selflessly is doomed to failure. It's utopian. It works in hell, where you don't need it, and heaven, where you already have it. The problem with socialism is it doesn't fit the human condition. It alienates people from their rightful self-interest, and it channels selfishness into socially destructive behavior, which includes stealing and getting the government to steal for you. So in contrast to that kind of a structure or system, capitalism is fit for the real, fallen, limited human experiment or reality. And you look at the kinds of things that have happened under social programs in the United States. You look at what's happened as we've moved rapidly towards socialism in our country. Has giving become greater or smaller? Have the poor been left farther behind, or are they catching up? And the answers are quite self-evident. This is not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of simple metrics. Just look at the data. Interesting, in light of your question, I was watching Bernie Sanders, who's a Democratic socialist, on a town hall being aired by CNN. So it was live last night. And he said a lot of things which were ridiculous. He said all religions, including Islam, he was talking about his own spirituality, teach the golden rule, and we are the most human when we are loving and serving others. Well, Islam does not teach the golden rule. And anyone that knows anything about Islam knows that their golden rule, as it were, is not for the infidel. It's not for the Christian. It's not even for the Zoroastrian or for the Jew. It is only for the Muslim. You are to fight the pagan. But apart from that, he says perhaps the ultimate sin against your neighbor, he's talking about the ultimate, very much like Al Gore did and Ted Turner did and many others could be named, but these are icons that we're all familiar with. He said that the ultimate sin against your neighbor is to destroy the planet through global warming. In other words, that's the ultimate sin. So let's say we now are in a socialist country under Bernie Sanders. We will indeed spend tens of trillions of dollars of the global economy on global warming. Now, without getting into that debate at this point, let me say this. There are things, and he's been in government for almost 40 years, there are things that could be done for a modest amount of money to help the poor. Think about just one thing, water. We could provide water for every single person on the planet that now does not have clean drinking water for under $200 billion. Why isn't that a big problem to him? My point is simply to say, you look at what capitalism has done, the joy of contagious giving. Money is not omnipresent. It can't be in a bad social system and be used for helping the poor at exactly the same time in exactly the same way. Think what could be happening in our generation if you simply realize what happened in past generations. You don't have to think all that far back. We have short memories, unfortunately. But you think back to the war generations. These were capitalists, robust capitalists, but they were the most generous people on the planet. They're the ones who founded centers of Christian education. But not only that, they established hospitals. They funded relief organizations. And they made an indelible mark on the world. So to give money to ineffective systems is a sin in itself. What's a greater sin is to be forced or coerced to do that so that you don't have the means by which you can help people in a really significant and dynamic way.
I guess the one thing, I mean, and you know, we're restricted by time because for every debate, there's a counter. I mean, we had Tom Lee Douglas in Canada who brought in universal health care, which really works in Canada, and it's something we take a lot of pride in, who was a socialist. And, I mean, you know, I know you talked about Venezuela being, an example of a failed system, which was socialist, where you can look
well,
at...
Well, actually, wasn't bringing that example up. What I was actually bringing up is Thomas Sowell, who has written a tome on economics as perhaps one of the best books I've ever read on the subject. And he was using this as a classic case in point. The same thing with his point on education. Nothing is free in the world. Someone pays for it. And when something is free, oftentimes it's devalued and it's misused. So I was simply quoting one of the top economists in the world. But I mean, this is an issue that has many facets to it, and I certainly appreciate the fact that you're pointing out that there is a counter, and that's why debates take place. But there is no question whatsoever that under robust capitalism, Christian capitalism, not all that long ago, we're just talking about the war generations, World War I, World War II, the kind of giving and help for the poor worldwide, as well as missionary efforts, was uneclipsed, perhaps, in human history.
The key point that you probably just brought up, Hank, that I guess is like you said, it's Christian capitalism, and I think that what's happening a lot in North America is because of the fact that, Christianity is being taken out of our governments and our courts and our schools and everything like that, that, you know, that's probably where we're seeing the negative consequences. It's not maybe the capitalism, it's the fact that the Christian aspect of it is being taken out of it. You know, and you know, in saying everything that I said, I still vote for a more of a conservative government in our country because, unfortunately, even if I agree with some of the socialism in terms of economics, it seems that every political party that has a social economic platform also has, in my opinion, from a Christian's point of view, has a morally bankrupt point of view too, because it seems like all those socialist parties are also the ones that are for same-sex marriage, they're for abortion, they're for, you know, like all these different types of things. And to me, if I'm looking at a political party that I'm going to vote for, those are the things that should be a priority, you know, regardless of what their economic platform is, and it has been for me individually. Is, you know, even though I might have agreed with some of their economic policies, if they're going to agree with and fund abortion, and I mean, you lost my vote. To me, I got to answer to God first before my government.
Well, I appreciate very much, Warren. I got to cut you off only because of time, not because I'm not interested in what you have to say, but we're completely out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Great model of how to conduct a dialogue. He listened carefully to what I had to say. Hopefully I listened carefully to what he had to say as well. A lot of people still left, people calling in from all over the world. It's a question on the U.S., whether we committed genocide against Native North Americans. It's a question on, has America gone beyond the tipping point of no return? Question on Roman Catholicism, tithing, much more. Hopefully you'll call in another time. We'll have an opportunity to have a conversation with you. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back here tomorrow with more of the show. Look forward to seeing you then.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.